We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to another episode of The Pod is the Roof, the Field of 68's very own UNC basketball podcast. Listen, there's been some episodes this year where Riley and I have came in riding high. Two Duke dubs, you know, those are some pretty exuberant moments. But what's sweeter than that is the Sweet 16, baby. And that's where UNC is headed, man. They headed out to the West Coast. Little Los Angeles lifestyle, which is kind of perfect. You know, my boy Paxton going to be out there wearing his Skims and whatnot. He fits the LA aura now. But, man, the game against Michigan State was incredible. No point in really touching on the Wagner game because that's kind of what's supposed to happen, although we might a little bit. But, yeah, man, we're just going to be recapping the entire first weekend. And don't worry. We'll be back for a preview sometime next week. But, Riley, how you been, man?
Good. A little bit sleep deprived, as probably most college basketball fans are. I love the wall-to-wall coverage those first 2 days, a Thursday and Friday, where it's nonstop hoops from noon till, honestly, it's like 1 to 1:30 a.m. Hear me out on this. I swear these games used to all be done by midnight, which like would definitely help us in the content game to not have to be up till 1:30 to 2 cranking out recaps and previews and everything. For those who don't know, I've been on the Sleepers Media YouTube channel. Go give those recaps a spin if you want to see us cover literally every single tournament game. But yeah, I swear even 4 or 5 years ago, all the games were done by midnight or 12:30 at the latest. And now it's just a million commercials mixed in and a million reviews. So this is going to be me getting the one pessimistic thing I'm going to say on the show. Let me be the old man yelling at the cloud and say, get these commercials scaled back some. Also, I'm tired of what a pro wants, what a pro needs.
Yeah.
Aside from that, I'm great. Like,
I think it's because they, like, I swear, I'm with you here. I don't know if this is like a Mandela effect thing, but I swear when I was growing up, there would be like a whole four stack of games before 1 p.m. There would be like a 12, a 12:15, a 12:30, and a 12:45. And now it's like they kind of backload it, and they give you two games like 12:15 and 12:45, and then it's I guess I get it, you know, more people are off work, TV reviews or TV views, all that stuff. Like it sucks though, man. Sometimes I'm just like, you know, I would really love to just sit down all day, starting at noon, be done at like 11:30 or 11, and that's it. Instead. Mm-hmm. Even today, you know, even in these round of 32 games, like the last one, you know, won't be done until 11:45 midnight. So it's it's tough out here, man. But do you want to touch on this Wagner game like at all? I mean, I guess we could touch on the Withers masterclass in front of his his hometown.
Yeah, it was pretty sick for Withers to have those moments. And I don't know if like, I still am not sure whether or not I believe Carolina came out flat in either of these games, because I don't think it's really possible to come out flat when you are a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. Like, I think they just, well, maybe they did come out a little flat against Wagner. At the same time, I felt like Wagner was hitting some crazy shots at the start. Carolina wasn't particularly crisp with the ball, had I think four turnovers in the first 8 minutes. But Withers provided such a spark off the bench and immediately flipped the tenor of that game. And it's just tough to not feel ecstatic for him knowing what happened the last time Carolina was in Charlotte when they played Oklahoma. And I think he played 6 minutes because he fouled 2 3-point shooters and Hubert basically said, "You're done. You're riding the bench the rest of the time." Kind of similar against Michigan State as well. In the first half, he really struggled those first 12 minutes alongside the rest of the team. I thought his defense on Malik Hall was particularly bad. I think there's one play in particular where Hall got him to jump and didn't even, I don't even think Hall used a pump fake. He just was trying to time it and jumped and fouled him. But I don't know what Hubert said to him. I know Ingram said after the game that Hubert, or at a timeout, Hubert told him and Mondo and Jalen Withers that they couldn't guard anybody right now. And like they took that challenge and stepped up because Withers was really good with the rest of the minutes that he played off the bench, particularly again in the second half. Some of those, the offensive rebounds he hit, grabbed, and the putbacks were really helped Carolina when they needed a boost. So I know that's a little bit of a mesh of both Wagner and Michigan State right there, but I thought getting some consistency from Jalen and getting some bounce back minutes after he struggled at the start feels huge for this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just continues to speak to Hubert because, there was a point where you and I in that game yesterday, which at the time this drops, it'll be 2 days ago, but the Michigan State game, we're almost, basically saying to each other, like, he's unplayable. He's probably not going to be able to play the rest of this game. And he did sit for a while, but Hubert, still just keeps these guys' confidence up. He keeps his faith in them. And then, Jalen comes in down the stretch and ends up putting together like a 3 minute clinic of just really, really good basketball. The baseline cut on the Mondo double team was just incredible. Like he was great. And I think the thing we're seeing from this UNC team through the first two games to mesh the two together again is kind of what we've been saying all year long, which is that this team has their main guys, but everyone is just bought in. Every single person believes in their role. Nobody tries to do too much. Nobody tries to overstep, and they just know. I mean, you look at the first game against Wagner. Not, Ingram really didn't do much. I'd say Cormack through the two games has probably done just about what he needs to do for us to continue to win, which is get his, 10 to 15 points, make some shots, and just try on the defensive end. And then obviously, Mondo and RJ are going to be incredible. They've been in a million of these games. But it's like we've gotten it from so many places. You get it from Withers in the Wagner game. And then you go to the Michigan State game, and, we'll just obviously Ingram was incredible. He couldn't miss. But the star of the show, I believe, that we have to talk about, I mean, if you didn't watch the game and you just checked the box score, you're probably like, what are these idiots talking about? But then you get it from Seth Trimble. And I just think there's always a guy that doesn't typically hoop that just has a moment in these games. What did you think of Seth yesterday? Because this man was like freaky, freaky on the defensive end.
Yeah, I saw he was only credited with two blocks, but I thought it was three. Like in the, it was probably what, a 3 or 4 minute stretch where he just erased a couple shots at the rim. He packed Jackson Kohler, which I thought was hilarious because Kohler's like 6'10", but like at least had the reputation as high school as like a skilled four, skilled five. Hasn't really, put it all together yet. But yeah, anytime you can get your 6'3" guard or wing, whatever you want to call Seth, to get a block coming over from the weak side, it's special. And it also happened when Michigan State was starting to narrow the gap a little bit. It kind of reminded me of the Duke game where Carolina, they were up, what was it, 15 as many in the first half? In the one in Cameron, I think they were up 15 to 6, yeah, 15-ish.
Yeah, it
And
was 21 to 6.
okay, yeah, 15. And then the second half, Duke is able to cut it to one. Really within the game's first 5 minutes, and Carolina just responded with a run of their own. And I think Seth actually helped key that run as well when he had that outlet pass to Cormack, which capitalize, I want to say a 7-0 or an 8-0 run, something like that. And Seth, again, was a difference maker here, where Michigan State cuts the lead down to 3 after falling down by as many as 9. And Seth just decides to become the best weak side rim protector on the team. You know, can't like it's incredible how well, you said it, these guys have bought into their role, but it also, it's huge just having three dudes who you sort of know what you're getting off the bench. And granted, they still might be a little more volatile because bench players, they have flaws, you know, they're not perfect, but generally speaking, you know what you're going to get out of Withers, out of Trimble, and out of Washington now, which is just absolutely huge for this team.
Yeah, I just, the most incredible part, and, you know, it's just not really, really something we're that used to as UNC fans. And, you know, obviously there's been really talented UNC teams that just kind of go out there and beat the crap out of everyone. There's been a few that are pretty good defensively, pretty resilient, but this team has a completely different identity. And we've been saying that all year. But to come out in front of your home, basically a home crowd, to say the least, and just like not even take a punch. I mean, they took a Mike Tyson uppercut to the jaw, 26-14. Tyson Walker cooking. Malik Hall is hitting like every post fade imaginable. It was rough. I mean, as
Madi
a UNC
Sissoko,
fan,
Madi Sissoko was scoring over Bacot. Like they were just hitting everything.
And then at first, I was like, all right, this is ugly. This could get bad. But then as soon as they showed the interview with Hubert, and he didn't even have to hear the question, and then I saw the clip of him just absolutely lighting into them on the sidelines, and then I heard his answer, which was basically like, we're soft. They're playing more physical than us. They're made like, and from that moment, it was just, to be able to flip the switch like that is insane. And I'm not talking flip the switch in terms of, oh my God, they just flipped the switch and hit like four straight threes. They just, that's not, you know, there's some teams that can do that in the nation. Right. But to be able to come out and basically get bullied for the first half of the game and flip the aggression and intensity switch and just for the next 30 minutes, dominate the game, which is exactly what they did. I mean, it's just this team, man. It's like they just get it. Like from that moment, the entry feeds for Michigan State stopped being so easy. They started dominating the glass. We weren't giving up offensive rebounds. I mean, it just, we were driving. Harrison Ingram wasn't missing threes, which was a bonus. And then then you get the plays like the Bacot blocks. I mean, Hogard could not score on Bacot.
Bacot, like, he put the clamps on Hogard. It was great to see. We hadn't seen a Bacot level performance like that defensively in a while, where he was switching on to guards and just not giving up shots at the rim. It was awesome, awesome performance from him.
I mean, yeah, it's like, all right, if you had to scale it 1 to 10. We won't even go all the way back to freshman year because that's just a little too long. Go back to the Final Four run, right? Scale of 1 to 10, how much has Armando's defense improved in that 2-year stretch?
I thought he was pretty awesome in that Final Four run, but because I would just compare it from last year. If he was probably like a 5 last year and he's like a 9 this year.
Yeah. And
maybe
I think
like
that,
I'd say an 8 or a 9 this year.
I think it's such a mixture of, one, he did get lighter this offseason, so he's obviously a little quicker on his feet. But two, it's a lot easier to anchor a defense when you actually have guys around you who are bought in playing defense. And that's what makes me so confident in this team, is that I know they can win any style of basketball game. Now, I'll be honest, I do worry about the more offensive style more than I do a more physical, dirty game. But I just, this team, they're really like a Swiss Army knife in terms of how they can beat you. And the thing is, I feel like we're probably going to get a Cormac game at some point. I'm assuming we will. And yeah, I don't know. I just love this team. Another big thing I wanted to hit on that, and If you got anything else, we'll definitely hit on all of it because I'm here to talk heels. But Elliott Cadeau, the bounce back after that first game was another thing that was just, I got to give credit to Hubert. I'm assuming Hubert and probably Marcus Paige were in his ear telling him, look, first game, first tournament game, no sweat. He only played 18 minutes. He did not play well. And then yesterday, he was back to doing what we've seen Cadeau do. I mean, he took four threes that were wide open. I don't mind it. Even Ingram was telling him to keep shooting, but attacking, playmaking, he got back to the Cadeau that we kind of know and love from the regular season. I mean, what do you make of a kid that is pretty freshly 18, true freshman, like having the mental wherewithal to just snap in a day against a much harder opponent, mind you, and get back to where he was?
Yeah, I thought one of the biggest signs of encouragement, he was plus 20 in 22 minutes yesterday. An insane plus minus. I thought his and one that he had was a huge part that sort of turned it around. Maybe Carolina was down 10 or 8 that point, but it I think you could just tell it galvanized the team and made them think like, okay, yeah, we're about to climb back in this. So that was great. Finishing with four assists, that's what you'd want to see. No turnovers. The no turnovers part was huge too. Just thinking about even if you watch Michigan State in that game against Mississippi State in the round of 64, they pressured Mississippi State's guards really tightly for the entire game. They were able to create a little bit of havoc. And that was a fear that I had going into it was AJ Hogard maybe smells blood a little bit, or Tyson Walker. Like Tyson Walker had three steals against Mississippi State, that they could see Cadeau coming off the tough game in the round of 64 and think, okay, we got a reclass freshman across from me. Both of those dudes are, well, I think both are in their fifth year. Hogard might be a true senior. Yeah, Hogard still has a fifth year if he wants it. And yeah, Walker's a fifth year. Two dudes with a lot of age who have played a ton of basketball between the two of them. And the fact that he, yeah, didn't turn it over, kept the team composed, set guys up with good looks. He had that nice pass to Harrison as the half, as the first half ended when Ingram canned that three. Huge from him.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The best month of the year is here, which is why you need to know that we are now partnered with BetMGM. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 all through the NCAA tournament. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD, and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not that bet hits. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $10 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game, and you get up to $1,500 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD when you sign up. Most importantly, we do have some fun stuff coming for the conference tournaments and especially for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops, odds boosts, and what I love the most, a nice parlay boost for anything you could possibly imagine betting on in the NCAA tournament, from odds and getting an at-large bid to Final Four futures to the highest seed to make to the Sweet 16. I'm calling it right now. BetMGM is the king of the prop bet. for your March Madness needs. So go download the BetMGM app, use the code FIELD, and sign up today. And while I've got you, a quick request, the best way to support the Field of 68 and our content you get for free is to engage with us. Rate and review the pod, like and share the YouTube videos, tell your friends about us. It helps in a world where the algorithm is king. And now, back to the show.
Man, this is going kind of far into the future here. But first off, I saw John Henson say this on After Dark. And Terrence, my boy T.O., they both said this. And I think it's true. Guarding Elliott Cadeau the way that Michigan State guarded him is the worst thing you can do. And it's the same... saw the same issue with Duke when they guarded him like that. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how, you know, if you want to go into NBA terms, Russell Westbrook's not a shooter, but you're not going to back off of Russell Westbrook, because when you give those dudes space to get full head of steam downhill, you are cooked. And honestly, my wish as a UNC fan is that teams continue to guard Cadeau like that, because for starters, I have full faith that eventually he's going to hit a couple. Second off, he is so fast with the ball that it does not matter. You can sit 5 feet inside the arc. If he backs it up and gets going downhill, he is still going to find a way to get by you and either make a play on a kick out, a dump down, get to the free throw line. I just don't think, like, I don't think it's a good strategy to paint sit when Elliott Cadeau has the ball. I think he's just too good. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. When I see coaches do that, I'm like, I've only seen it happen three times this year. Duke twice and Michigan State. And the Tar Heels have won all those games pretty convincingly.
Well said. Yeah, I think teams will continue to do that. Hopefully, I kind of think it seems like he just sort of hesitates for a second with some of those threes, to where maybe if he shoots it in rhythm, you'll start to get more of them to fall. I think the shot looks better than it did earlier in the season. There's less of a hitch to it. So that's encouraging. It's just really crazy looking at some of his high school highlights when you see him confidently shoot threes off the bounce. Like, maybe we don't see that till next year, but I would love to, you know, just make one out of every three. If he can go 1 for 3 the rest of the tournament, I mean, UNC is already tough to beat. Go to another level. But
yeah, see, that's like where I go in the future, is I'm telling you, Cadeau's gonna come back next year and somehow be like a 34-35% guy, and then teams are really not gonna know what to do, because I'm telling you, he's gonna spend the whole offseason working on it, and it's gonna be scary hours for everyone that is not a UNC fan. But I mean, you know, I just, God, man, that win yesterday was incredible. It really was. I mean, it's just, I think we're one win away from officially, like, naming Michigan State Stadium the Tar Heel Center. And you know, I got all these Duke fans that are just like, oh man, y'all got to play Izzo in round two. We're not y'all. We don't lose to Izzo in March. Like,
shout out Cassius Winston and Kenny Goins.
Like,
packed up Zion and them boys.
Like, bro, we don't, like, we do, as a fan, obviously, I don't want to play Tom Izzo necessarily.
Yeah.
But with our history, like, am I scared of Izzo? Absolutely not. I'm just not. And yeah, I mean, I do want to pay ups to Tyson Walker, though. That man. He's a problem.
Hoop. Yeah, he can hoop. I think he put up close to 40 on Carolina when he was at Northeastern. Were you still in school? Yeah, that would have been like your junior year. Remember that random game we played against Northeastern?
They talked about it on the broadcast too, and I was like, bro, that was one of those games where I watched it, and you know, every mid-major kind of has that one guy, and you watch that, and you're like, this dude might go to the league. And Tyson Walker's going to get signed somewhere. He's something serious. But
that was another thing, man.
He started the game with 11, and then as soon as Seth got out there, it became a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
He still scored, but man, it became a lot harder. I don't know, man. Like, what does UNC need to do anything differently to you moving forward to continue to advance? Or are you just kind of in that mindset where it's like, I like this group, I like their identity, I like what they do, don't change it, and they can beat anybody?
Come out hot? Like, would it kill you to just, you know, come out on like a 15-5 run or something? That's all. That's literally it.
Yeah, that's my actual, I think, biggest concern. So for those of you listening, the Alabama game just reached its conclusion. They will be playing Bama in the Sweet 16, and we will preview that in full later this week. But against a team like that, that's what worries me, man, because they're so good at offense.
Yeah.
If you come out flat against a good offensive team, then you got to claw back. It's not fun. But yeah, I mean, I love this group. Me and you, I had slightly higher expectations, but not this high. And we were still excited about the roster that Huber had built. But man, dare I say, I did not expect this to become one of my favorite UNC teams ever, and it has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there have been moments, like especially throughout that 10-game winning streak through January, was like, this team is special. Of course, they hit the lull, then sweep Duke, closed the season on 8 wins before dropping a game that has since spurred this Cinderella run, which is still very annoying. We could have kept NC State out, and we didn't. It's okay. Well, I guess they can have their 15 seconds of fame. Hopefully they go back into irrelevancy for the next 40 years or whatever. But yeah, it's such an enjoyable team. And I would have never thought, if you had told me when we started this podcast back in November, my expectations were like, just stay ranked for most of the year, get like a top 4 seed, make the second weekend, split with Duke. And they did stay ranked the whole year and spent most of it in the top 5. They didn't just split with Duke, they swept Duke. They didn't just get a top 4 seed, they got a 1 seed. They didn't just get to the Sweet 16, they got to the Sweet 16 by dominating a team that a lot of people picked to win. A lot of people were on, I knew a lot of people were on Michigan State money line. Like that, those were group texts I was a part of that proudly said that. And to see them go out, get punched in the mouth like they did against NC State, but respond differently this time and outscore them by 28 points after the first 12 minutes. Come on now. Hubert, incredible job this year. You've silenced any doubts. He coached so well in yesterday's game, like getting them to turn it around the way that he did, the way he's instilled confidence in guys, the way that he found 3 players in Ingram, in Cormack, and Withers who came from losing teams, who had none of them had ever played in the tournament before except Cormack, who had a first 4 game and a first round game. That's it. And I guess 5 years of college before this, to get those dudes to be legit 1 seed starters or rotation pieces. I mean, incredible job by him and the staff.
Yeah, and Ingram's only going to get more and more settled as this thing gets deeper and deeper. You saw it. Round 1, he was a little shaky. Yeah. Round 2, he was a problem, and I think he's just the guy, man. He's just such a nightmare because you can't leave him on the perimeter. You can't put a guard on him. He can defend. Like, he's just – that's one of those things where we're going to look back on this year, and not just we as in UNC fans, but we as in college basketball media members, and be like, why did we never talk about Ingram as possibly, like, the best portal addition of them all? Like, he's just a perfect compliment. But, yeah, man, it's wild because I still feel like we're getting an RJ30 ball at some point. Armando's been exceptional. Still haven't gotten a Cormack game. I mean, I don't know. I trust this team so, so, so much. And as a little four corner special here, a little March special, you know, they're playing Alabama in the Sweet 16. But let's say that this game hadn't gone final yet. Let's say Grand Canyon and Alabama were still playing, and you had to pick the ideal 4 opponents for UNC to win the national championship. And it doesn't have to be ideal in terms of you want an easy path. It could be ideal in terms of games you want to see, whatever. What's your ideal path for UNC to win the Natty?
I want an easy path. I don't care how entertaining the games are. Some UNC wins. I want comfortable 20-point wins every time. That'd be fantastic. Let me look at our bracket. I mean, I guess I don't know. Grand Canyon or Alabama, I'm fine playing either. I don't think Alabama can defend. They can still hurt us with their offense. Grand Canyon, though, they got decent athleticism. Tyon Grant Foster might have hurt us. And they Ray Harrison, I don't think he was as good as he was last year, but that dude's a bucket. So, yeah, I guess I'm fine with Alabama. Between Clemson and Arizona and the Elite Eight, I mean, I feel like Clemson would be easier, but, like, do we really need to see round four of, or I guess round three of UNC Clemson? I would have confidence in UNC going into that game, though, to win it. It would be a lot less scary than Arizona. The Arizona matchup might be scenes. I'm going to go with Arizona. We don't duck smoke. So then the Elite, that would be in the Elite Eight to get into the Final Four. Final Four, anybody but UConn. So let's see who's. I mean, honestly, give me Illinois. That would, I think UNC could take it to them. I don't trust their defense.
Kind of a similar to Alabama matchup there.
Yeah, just a little bit better. National championship. There's part of me that wants to just go like full unhinged and say Duke because we've owned them this year. But I don't think my blood pressure, my heart, like I might keel over in that game if we play for a national championship. Part of me wants to say State because it's, again, it's like history of the rivalry. I think we'd get it done. But probably Marquette. I think we could beat Marquette. I think we match up well with them. Again, don't necessarily trust their defense. Don't really trust them outside of Cam Jones and Tyler Kolek. And even Kolek, I know he's looked really good since returning, but there's still kind of that overarching questions about injuries that are lingering for him.
Yeah, I'm a bit similar. So I like Alabama just because we can score, and when it comes down to getting stops, I think we're going to win that battle. In the Elite Eight, I say Arizona for a couple reasons. One, we don't duck smoke, and the Caleb Love game is just America needs it. That's probably
it's written
gonna be
in
one
the
of the
stars.
Most, it's going to be one of the most viewed college basketball games ever, for sure. And then I will say this. I really don't want to play Clemson because I don't want to play a team that's familiar with us.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
And I think we can beat Clemson for sure because we split with them in the regular season. But, like, they know what to expect. I'd rather not. So, give me Arizona. Interesting pick for me, and I'm saying this because I do not trust their offense whatsoever. I'd like to play Iowa State in the Final Four. I know Lipsy is a bucket and, you know, they're well coached. They have a really good defense. But I just think that's one of those games where they are literally UNC with a worse offense. And I just don't – I don't know. They don't scare me.
That is where I have to push back. I know they're better numerically defensively, by I think they're second and we're sixth, but they force so many turnovers that scares me. And then again, I mean, I trust RJ to take care of the ball. I Elliott against their length as a freshman, that would scare me a little bit.
I think that's like a first to 65 type of game, and I just think we'd get there first. Then in the Natty, oh man. See, I would love the sweet, sweet victory of beating the hype merchant in the national championship. That'd just be absolutely glorious, but I really don't want to play Purdue. Honestly,
I can't believe you called Edie a hype merchant.
It's all memes. I just think their games are so boring to watch, to be honest with you. Oh God, this is tough. Marquette's a good pick, and this one's probably a little unrealistic. But I would not mind playing Creighton because they have no depth.
Yeah.
And if Kalkbrenner gets like two early fouls against Armando, it's game over. And I'm sorry, but like I just think we have the defensive personnel for Alexander, Ashworth, and Shireman. I'd love to play Creighton in the national championship.
I actually think I'd pick Creighton over Marquette too. I think Carolina would beat them.
I don't think Creighton's getting past Tennessee.
No, they're not.
Oh man. But any other thoughts before we head on out of here and do a little preview next week?
Cherish it, savor it. It's been a really fun season so far. This weekend was awesome. That's all I gotta say. And make sure you're subscribed and following us because we got some fun guests coming on for this preview.
We do. And then I've been saving this for the very end. This is going to be an explosive outro, so be ready. But Riley, it is so great to see the worst conference in the history of American sports go 8-0 in the first two rounds and put four teams, 25% of the field in the Sweet 16. I mean, I can't believe such a shitty conference like the ACC would do that, and such an elite conference like the Mountain West wouldn't have the guys in. I mean, it's tough out here, man. I just don't know how many years we're going to have to do this with the ACC. Quality over quantity, man. And every year the ACC gets quality teams in, and every year they make runs. So I don't know what else y'all need to see. Put some respect on the ACC's name. And we'll be back next week with a little preview for UNC Alabama, for a potential UNC Arizona matchup for it all. And like Riley hinted at, some very, very special guests. Enjoy your week. It's going to suck. We don't get basketball until Thursday. See you guys then.